I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. We have a very, very special guest today. Jesse's in Texas doing a parish mission, and I have Father Frank Pavone and Dr. Ed Mazza with us today. We're going to be talking about something that Father Frank did. He asked the U.S. bishops to allow clergy to publicly discredit baby-killing Democratic Party. I don't think we have them on yet, but we're working on it. Okay, so bottom line is, this show's going to be special. I also have some big news right now. I just made a decision with Bishop Joseph Strickland, the Bishop of Tyler, Texas. He's doing a weekly show here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And we decided we're going to have his first show the 6th of July at 12 noon Pacific Coast time. And he's a bishop who has been constantly speaking out for the unborn and for the teachings of Christ and his church. And that's why we asked him to join us here on the team as Virgin Most Powerful. And I want to thank all of our benefactors who've made that possible. Father Frank, I see you now on YouTube here. Father Frank, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Terry. It's always good to be with you.
Father, I'm so excited. I'm knocking off push-ups, doing some pull-ups right now, because I'm excited to be a Catholic right now. This is an exciting time to be alive. And Father, before we get into the topic, we like to go to what we call soul food, the Word of God, for the readings of the daily Mass readings for the Gospel. And I love today's reading. I don't know if you have it in front of you, but I'd rather have a priest proclaim it than this bald-headed old man. Do you have it in front of you, Father?
It's not at my fingertips right now.
Then I'm going to do it. Then I will do it. I will do it. But I like to give always my priest friends, obviously, a first dibs on this. But this is a reading from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 29. Jesus said to his disciples, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name?' Then I will declare to them solemnly, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers.' Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house, but it did not collapse. It had been set solidly on rock. And everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house, and it collapsed and was completely ruined." When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Father Frank, I'm going to let you give some commentary on that, but you know what really touched me? Every single day, we're always saying, do the will of God, do the will of the Father. Yeah, well, it says right here, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. And so here's my point on that. The spiritual writers, Pia de Casada, a Jesuit priest, wrote a book called, well, actually, their letters to sisters in the 17th century, Abandonment to Divine Providence. And he makes it real simple to all of us, me, you. How do you do the will of the Father? By doing your duties in your state in life. And one of my duties as a father of four is to defend my wife, defend my children, to defend life. That's part of my duty. And I might add, every single person listening right now has a moral obligation to defend life. And that's part of your duty. And so, Father, I'm going to give you the mic and say, What are your thoughts on this gospel of Matthew chapter 7? I'm all ears.
You know, it is an amazing passage because it really does get to the heart of holiness. You hear about the casting out of demons and, we can think of the gifts that we are all given, including priests. You know, we can administer the sacraments and preach great homilies. But as Archbishop Sheen once described very well, that's not what makes us holy.
Right.
What makes us holy is our obedience to and faithfulness to the teachings that we're proclaiming so well. And this is the case with everybody. It's not, you know, rosaries hanging from the dashboard, crucifixes on the wall. Those are helpful encouragements to us. But again, they don't constitute the ultimate holiness that we are called to have.
Well said, Father. I've got a clip from Paul Harvey, If I Were the Devil. I'm going to play after we have Fulton Sheen come in, because he basically is going to say something very appropriate for us here on this show. So let's bring in the full Sheen ahead. What does the good bishop have to say about peace of soul? Because this gospel really is about peace of soul. There is a world of difference between peace of mind and peace of soul. The peaceful soul does not seek now to live morally, but to live for God. Morality is only a byproduct of the union with Him. Just what Father Frank was saying. We have to live the faith. I mean, just because you park a car in a garage, that doesn't mean it's a car. You can park anything in there. Father Frank, I wanted to play something about the devil, because I really think the devil is really a loose right now in our culture. And we're having lots of challenges. We have a plethora of issues that are happening right now in our culture. So I would like to ask Mr. Engineer to play the clip from Paul Harvey, If I Were the Devil.
If I were the devil. If I were the devil. If I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Well, Father Frank, I play this periodically because it was done in 1965. Here we are in 2020, and much of what Paul Harvey said is going on in our culture. And that's why I asked you to come today, because you have come out with a letter to our bishops in regards to allowing the clergy to publicly discredit baby-killing Democratic parties. Now, I know we're not left versus right. We're right versus wrong. And I think it's wrong to kill unborn babies. And I think that if people look at the platform of each, you know, the Republican platform and the Democratic platform, it says it very clearly. What you're saying is we need to be able to speak out. And when we come back from the break, I want to ask you why you wrote it and what's in there. And with the Johnson Amendment back in 1954 and President Trump saying that he's not going to implement that, that he's actually opening up a door for the clergy, not just Catholic clergy, but all clergy to speak their mind regarding politics. And I just would like to have that conversation when we come back from the break. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I want to remind everybody, Bishop Strickland Hour is going to start on the 6th of July. Mark that down, because we've got a very good bishop who's very outspoken in the perennial teachings of the church, starting after the Terry and Jesse Show on that Tuesday, July 6th. When we come back, Dr. Ed Mazza and Father Frank Pavone and Terry Barber are here to talk about Father's letter to the bishops. I think you might like this. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back with much more to inspire you to fall in love with Jesus and his church.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need covenant eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to covenanteyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.covenanteyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty." According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Actually, it's Terry, Dr. Ed, and Father Frank Pavone. Dr. Ed, are you on? I don't see you, so I assume you're calling in. Are you there, Dr. Ed?
I am ready and
Are you ready to serve? Are you ready? All right, Ed. Dr. Ed's has one of the shows on Monday. Ed, why don't you tell us a little bit about your show for the benefit of those who don't listen to you on a regular basis? Go ahead and tell us.
Yes, well, every Monday at noon Pacific time, mm-hmm. I am the host of the Bar of History. It's the show where we go back in time in order to save the future. And unfortunately, listening to Dr. Mazza for an hour is considered waterboarding in some countries. So it's not for the faint of heart.
I understand. And that's every Monday on Virgin Most Powerful. Father Frank Pavone, we have you here to talk about a letter that you wrote to the bishops in a very respectful letter at asking the U.S. bishops to allow clergy to publicly discredit baby-killing Democratic Party. That's pretty strong. But tell us a little bit more why you wrote it and what's in it.
Yes, well, thank you, Terry, for this opportunity. And Dr. Ed, it's good to be with you, too. Thank you for what you do. You know, as many of our listeners have been,
yes.
I, for many decades, have been trying to respond to what the scriptures, the tradition of the church, and the explicit teachings of our popes and our bishops say about politics. We have to change the world for Christ.
Amen.
We have to make a difference. The church is very much oriented to changing the social order. So, and there's a whole body of teaching about the church's proper role in politics. Look, for example, at the documents of the Second Vatican Council. Mm-hmm. Look at the catechism itself. Look at the compendium of the social doctrine of the church, a whole book, which is essentially a Vatican document, talking to us about how we're supposed to make a difference in the world. So here, I'm just tracing the background of this. So you look at all of this and you say, you know, in prayer and with grace and invigorated by the sacraments, you say, hey, the Holy Spirit is stirring me into flame here. It's like, you know, we're not our hearts burning within us. I want to do something. And so we speak up and we know, as the bishops themselves have said in, for example, their document, Living the Gospel of Life, hey, listen, the right to life is the foundation of the house of human rights issues and of electoral issues. Anything that attacks the right to life directly, like abortion, is a preeminent issue. And the bishops reaffirmed that just last November in their meeting. Now, all right, so that's point number one. We've got this beautiful body of teaching. And it's an exhortation to go make a difference. Okay. Then when we go and we start trying to make a difference, practically what a lot of people listening to us now and what I myself have run into are all these cautionary roadblocks on the level of the parish and of the diocese of pastors and bishops saying, oh, but no, 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 no. You can't say this and you can't do that and we can't be too political and we can't criticize any candidates and we can't criticize any parties and we can't hand out these voter guides and we can't do this and we can't do that. And it's like you're left with, you know, okay, are we pushing our feet on the gas or on the brakes or both at the same time? What's going on here? Now, we understand, and I affirm in the letter, look, the church does not have a political mission per se.
Right.
In other words, it is in the civil realm that political parties are created, and there's nothing intrinsically wrong with political parties, but that's in the civil arena. The church is not meant to, you know, create a political party. And it's not even that we're called to endorse candidates or take up collections for their campaigns in the parishes. I have always taught this distinction between the legitimate role of the church on the one hand and the role of the political arena on the other. However, we're not even talking about that. We're talking here about a situation where there is a fundamental attack being made by one of our major political parties, not on matters of prudential judgment or simply matters of policy, but on underlying foundational matters of principle that are not only at the foundations of the gospel, but of civilization itself, such as you don't kill babies. Okay, now, if I as a human being, if I as a priest, if I as a Christian cannot stand up in the face of political powers and authorities and say to them very clearly, you don't kill babies, and then say to the voters, and you can't cooperate in the killing of babies by putting these people into power, Terry, that's a moral statement. That's not a political statement. That's a moral statement. It has political implications, obviously. But who it's going to help and who it's going to hurt in the political arena doesn't depend on me, because I'm not preaching from the platform of a political party. I'm preaching from the platform of the gospel of Jesus Christ and his moral law. And what I say, how it's going to help or hurt people in the realm of politics, that depends on one thing and one thing only: what position they take on these fundamental moral issues. I don't tell them what position to take. They're taking the positions they've chosen to take. But as it turns out, we've got more of a divide on those positions than ever before. The Republican Party has been more pro-life than ever before. The Democrat Party is rabidly adhering without exception to unlimited abortion, and they want you and me to help to pay for it. So on a fundamental matter like this, if we're told as clergy, if we're told as a church, well, you know, we can't use the church to, we can't criticize any political party or candidate. That's what we're being told in official memos. We cannot criticize a political party or candidate. I'm sorry, but you cannot articulate the teachings of the church in the current political climate without that being the result. The actual de facto result is that you are criticizing and discrediting a party, namely the Democrat Party. Again, not because our platform has changed, it hasn't, but because theirs has. So, I've been having this discussion with the bishops, Terry, ever since you and I met each other. 27 years I've been having this discussion with the bishops behind the scenes and respectfully trying to hammer this out and saying, hey, listen, we can't fight with one or two arms tied behind our back. We have got to stand up like Cardinal Clemens von Galen, who was beatified by the church, and a cardinal who spoke out against the Nazi regime for the very same reason, their disrespect for human life. And it's like, hey, where's the voice? We have to be free to be the voice of the church in this situation.
All I can say is a big amen, and my phone right now is burning up and saying, I'm so glad to hear a priest preach like this and talk like this. My teenage son's listening and saying, yeah, why don't the bishop speak like that? So, I mean, a young man said that. I say, well, young man, maybe God's calling you to be a priest in the future years that you could speak the truth like that. Father Frank, I just want to let Dr. Ed make a comment, but I also want to say this, that the president of the U.S. Bishops Conference issued a statement the 15th of June, just 2 weeks ago, regarding the Supreme Court decision to the legal definition of sex in the civil rights law. And Archbishop Gomez said this very clearly: our lives require that we receive our body and our sexual identity with gratitude from our Creator. No one can find true happiness by pursuing a path that is contrary to God's plan. Well, nobody can get to heaven, okay, when you have a path of killing unborn babies. So out of charity, Father Frank, people of pro-life side, really it's charitable to call them to say, this is killing unborn babies is murder. Okay, simple as that. And if you continue to do that, that you're going to go to hell if objectively you know this is the case and you do it with free consent of your will. So out of charity, I'm telling especially my brother Catholics who are going to vote for a candidate who's for killing unborn babies, that you're endangering the salvation of your soul for all eternity. And I can say that because I'm not a priest, okay? I'm a layman. I've said that for decades. Please, out of charity, I'm going to call you to do that. Dr. Ed, jump in with what Father Frank just said. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, let me give you a quote from Pope Pius XI that has probably not been quoted the last 50 years, and that's part of the problem. He said, those who hold the reins of government should not forget that it is the duty of public authority by appropriate laws and sanctions to defend the lives of the innocent. And all this the more so since those lives are endangered and assailed cannot defend themselves, among whom we must mention in the first place are infants hidden in the mother's womb.
Wow.
And if the public magistrates not only do not defend them, but by their laws and ordinances betray them to death at the hands of doctors and of others, let them remember that God is the judge and avenger of innocent blood, which cries from earth to heaven.
Wow. Yeah, we need to hear that.
I really think Pope Pius XI.
Why doesn't he really tell us what he thinks? Father Frank, when we come back from the break, I have to ask you regarding the Johnson Amendment from 1954 and what President Trump has said about not implementing that. What is it? And why is that giving us an open invitation to speak the truth, not just priests, but all clergy? And I want to, so that's the question I'm going to ask you, but I also want to remind everybody, thank you for all your support for Virgin Most Powerful. We just came up with another one. Father Frank will probably want to use this for Priests for Life. Maybe he's not using it. But Father Frank, we now have a couponbird.com search where our Catholic Resource Center, you just press join, and that's seeding the project, and you get discounts. It's just like Amazon, but you get discounts on what you buy, and we get a percentage of what you buy to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. So go to couponbird.com and search Catholic Resource Center, or go to our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org, and you can find out how you can support us. And again, all of those who are monthly donors, we had Steve Ray do a bird's eye view a week ago for 4 hours on the Old Testament and the trip to the Holy Land. He's showing you all these beautiful images by describing them. That show is available for monthly donors. And if you want to become a monthly donor, call us at 877-526-2151 or go online to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. When we come back, Dr. Ed Mazza, Father Frank Pavone, and Terry Barber, we're going to talk about the issue of priests and laity, priests especially, and Protestant ministers speaking up on the political end to help encourage our people to know the facts about the voting, so that we can vote with a Christ mind and Christ-centered purpose, so that we can protect the unborn and stop the killing of future citizens in America. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse will be back on Monday. And we've got Father Frank Pavone and Dr. Ed Mazza. And we're going to talk more about protecting the unborn on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Don't turn that dial. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing, at least, and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Jesse will be back on Monday. I've got Father Frank Pavone and Dr. Ed Mazza here. I want to give a plug, though, because I want you, our listener, to be a monthly donor for Father Frank Pavone. Yeah, I'm honored to make a pitch. Why? Because I believe in the work of Priests for Life for all these years. And Father Frank, people can go to your website also for all kinds of good information. Before I get to the Johnson Amendment, tell us a little bit about, like, you have a pamphlet where you have the platforms of each Republican and Democratic parties, English and Spanish, where people can download it and show it to their friends to show them that this isn't just your words. Look at the facts. What else do you have on your website that would be helpful to help with teaching people about the issue of life?
Well, we have an election website called prolifevote.com. Mm-hmm. And as you said, it has a nonpartisan comparison piece of the party platforms. And by the way, the Republican Party platform is not going to change this year. Usually every 4 years, these platforms are updated. But the Republicans have said, hey, we're happy with the one we issued in 2016. So we're going to keep it the same. But aside from that, we have information on voter registration and how you can check to see that your voter registration is up to date, which is very important to do. Then we have an election prayer campaign, which has its own website, electionprayer.com. And then we've got material from the bishops, the document I mentioned earlier, Living the Gospel of Life, and a lot of other documents and teachings. We've got a whole series of short educational videos that I've done about voting, little 10-minute videos that can be shared, including by churches and other groups. And that's at electionvideos.org. Lots of stuff just like that. It's all at prolifevote.com. You'll find a link to all the other places where you can see this information.
Fantastic. Father Frank, my question is, back in 1954, before I was born, the Johnson Amendment came out and was saying that, you know, priests and clergy should not be speaking on the political issues. But I have noticed in my own lifetime, especially our black churches, they've been very vocal regarding political stuff. And it seems like President Trump has made a comment saying that, you know what, let the churches speak their mind. I've got no problem with that. So is that true?
Yes. In fact, I quoted the president in my letter to the bishops today. To give some context here, this was an amendment put into the tax code with no legislative history and no legislative debate. And it's inherently ambiguous, and some legal experts claim unconstitutional. We're not sure if Johnson intended it to apply to churches, but it has in fact been applied to churches. And it basically says you can't intervene in a political race. Now, it doesn't define its terms, and that's what has led to the ambiguity. Now, here's the problem. The IRS issues guidance, okay, on how to interpret the Johnson Amendment, but the guidance is more ambiguous than the amendment. And it talks about facts and circumstances. I've dealt with this with the nation's top legal experts for three decades now. The thing is ambiguous. And here's the bigger problem.
Tell me.
And this is where the bishops come in. The Catholic dioceses, and I'm not saying that this is done with any kind of ill will, but the Catholic dioceses, in an abundance of caution, and what I would say an overabundance of caution,
amen,
take the ambiguous IRS interpretation of the ambiguous Johnson Amendment And they make it even more ambiguous. We end up being told, okay, and this is, I wrote a whole book on this. The book is you and I have discussed it in the past. It's called Abolishing Abortion, and it's available at abolishingabortion.com. What I do in that book is I expose a whole lot of these memos that are sent out to the parishes, and you know, we'll be getting more of them in the months to come. And literally what they tell us is, well, what we were talking about before, make sure that in your preaching and in your bulletin and on your website, you don't say anything that could explicitly or implicitly favor or discredit a political candidate or party. And then again, I ask the question, well, let's take, you know, we talked about abortion. Let's take religious freedom. How can you not explicitly or implicitly criticize a party, that is the Democrats, who took the Archdiocese of Washington, the Diocese of Pittsburgh, the Diocese of Erie, Priests for Life, Little Sisters of the Poor, Thomas Aquinas College, Catholic University of America, all the way up to the Supreme Court, because we had to sue for our right to live our faith in our business practices? This is ridiculous. What is it going to take? What is it going to take? For us as a church to say, you know what, we have to speak out against this, and we have to speak out against the people who are doing this. President Obama imposed a mandate that could have actually crippled so many ministries with intensive fines. And look, you know, it was only the election of President Trump that saved us from that. You know, I could relate the whole history of it. It would take too long, but only his election saved us from that. And the Catholic Church at this point should be grateful that we have a party and we have a president that stands for our freedom to be the church. You know, and some leaders will come along and say, hey, listen, we can't be political. We just have to be the church. We've got to realize something. Unless we start speaking up, we're not going to be able to be the church. We're not going to have the freedom to do that. Quoting from what the president said back in 2017, yes. I put this in this letter. The President Trump said to the clergy, I want to hear from you. And so do a lot of other people.
Amen.
So now you're in a position where you can say what you want to say.
No excuse.
Say it in your heart. That's what we want. This executive order directs the IRS not to unfairly target churches and religious organizations for political speech. In America, we do not fear people speaking freely from the pulpit. We embrace it. Under my administration, free speech does not end at the steps of a cathedral or a synagogue or any other house of worship.
Praise
and
God.
I say amen.
Amen to that. Father, I'm getting texts from people who are all over the country right now supporting you. And I have one actually on the line who happens to be my bride, Mary Danielle, with the Bible with the Harvest. Mary Danielle, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Frank Pavone and Dr. Ed are here. Are you there?
I'm here, and I want to thank you so much. And Father Pavone, thank you for the work that you're doing, and thank you for bringing this out. And again, in Christa Fidelis Laici, right, the church tells the lay people they're supposed to sanctify the temporal order. But how can we sanctify the temporal order if we don't even know what the church's moral teaching is?
That's right.
So if you don't have to be political. And again, people are trying to politicize murder. It's like, well, wait a minute. You know, there's some basic laws that are natural to human beings that we realize there's some certain laws that have to be in place in order for the order in society. And if parents are allowed to kill their own children, then whose life is sacred? Who has any rights at all?
Well said.
And so this isn't a political issue. This is a moral issue. But people are no longer instructed in morality, and even from the pulpit and in the churches. And if the lay people knew the teachings of the church, then yes, they would be fighting against abortion and artificial contraception, induced surgical abortion, and induced chemical abortion. But unfortunately, they don't. And I just want to thank you for the work you're doing, and we are praying for you and supporting you. And there's so many of us out here who have been hurt by this issue and trying to defend women. And I just read recently, 60% of all women who have abortions aren't choosing it freely at all, at least 60%. They're being forced in this country. I'm just talking about this country.
That's right.
New statistic out from Care Network, I believe, put it out. And you might want to speak to that for a moment if you have a chance. But thank you so much.
Mary Danielle, thank you for calling in. Folks, if you haven't heard the Bible with the Barbers, Mary Danielle has a master's in biblical studies from John Paul II and Bible studies here on Tuesday here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Father Frank, you get these old grandmas. I don't know if you heard that little baby in the background, but that was my grandson, okay? That was my grandson. So we are appreciative of you standing up for life and encouraging all of our clergy and others. Dr. Ed, I see that you've got a comment about an elephant in the room. I want to hear what you mean by that. What's on your mind about that, Ed? Dr. Ed?
Well, as a professional historian, I got to point out that there's an elephant in the room that's not being talked about here.
Okay.
And that is, and it's the bishops, unfortunately, who are not stepping up and talking about it. And that is that the Second Vatican Council said that it was leaving intact the church's teaching on church and state. And for 1,000 years, the church taught that it is true that there's the temporal sphere, which is directed by the secular authorities or the temporal authorities, and there is the religious sphere, which is directed by the church. But that being said, the Catholic Church, not only does it have the right of the First Amendment to freedom of religion, but uniquely on planet Earth, mm-hmm. because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, established it, uniquely the Roman Catholic, bad word perhaps, but to I'll sum it up in a quotation from Pope Leo XIII. Pope Leo said in his encyclical Immortale Dei, whatever is in things human is of a sacred character. Whatever belongs either of its own nature or by reason of the end to which it is referred to the salvation of souls or to the worship of God is subject to the power and judgment of the church. And so what Pope Leo and other popes have taught is that the church has an indirect power over the temporal society when the salvation of souls is at risk.
Thank you.
Uniquely qualified and has to speak up when the salvation of souls is at risk.
Wow. Dr. Ed, you seem to be bringing back history here, and that's what we are so happy to have you on to share that. Here's my question right now. We're going to take a quick break, but I want to have a solutions, Father Frank. What can you encourage our listeners to do to encourage the bishops to respond to this letter? And I know Bishop Joseph Strickland, who is now part of Virgin Most Powerful on the 6th of July, that'll be his first show here after the Terry and Jesse show, 12 noon on the 6th of July. And I'm going to bring this up in his first segment, the issue of your letter. And I guarantee you he's going to be saying, yeah, I'm encouraging my brother bishops to speak up. And we need more of that. So thank you for encouraging us to do this. But when we come back, I want to talk about solutions of what we can do, not just praying, but also action items here on the Terry and Jesse Show. Again, what are we here for? To help you fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Clarity with charity. We'll be right back. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess will be back on Monday. Father Frank Pavone from Priest for Life is here. Dr. Ed Mazza is here, and I'm here, Terry Barber. You know, I gave some bad information. I love having our listeners correct me. They seem to do it on a regular basis. Bishop Strickland's show will actually be on the 7th Tuesday of July at noon after the Terry and Jesse Show. So thank you very much for correcting me. He always gives me an opportunity to be humbled. Thank you so much. Father Frank, we're talking about, for those who just tuned in, your letter to the bishops to asking them to allow clergy to publicly discredit baby-killing Democratic Party. And you've already talked about why you wrote this letter and how, you know, it's important that we can speak up for the unborn and not feel like we have to stay silent anymore. Now, this segment, I'd like to talk about some of the solutions that we can do as lay people, maybe letters to our bishop saying, hey, I've got this, I got this letter regarding Father Frank Pavone from Priest for Life and asking our bishops to speak more about the pro-life, and just encouraging our bishops as donors, as parishioners, saying, yeah, it's time to, because if we don't speak up, there might not be an opportunity for us to speak in the future because of our religious freedoms going down the drain. We see it as we speak, but I want to give you and then Dr. Ed your solutions in this segment of what we can do to help protect the unborn. Your thoughts, Father.
Yeah, first of all, a little suggestion for reading.
Yeah.
Russell Shaw,
he's a good man,
used to be communications liaison for the U.S. Bishops yep. Conference. Yep. He wrote a very powerful book that really hits the nail on the head as far as the problem of communication in the church, and it's called Nothing to Hide.
Mm-hmm.
If people would look up that book, Nothing to Hide, by Russell Shaw, you will get a very, very powerful insight into what a lot of the problem is in the church, including some of the problem I'm getting at in this letter. Because the letter that I issued today really is a very humble, respectful call for dialogue. All it is a call for dialogue. It's like, let's not be, you know, just shutting things down. You know, we want to be obedient and faithful and loyal to our shepherds. All we're asking is for their help for us to fulfill our vocation,
right,
which we already have from the Lord himself. So I think the reading of Russell Shaw's book is action point number one. Point number two, okay, we're not trying to, you know, tell the bishops how to do their job. I would suggest you do this. Go to your priests with, again, a very positive, humble, a helpful attitude and say, Father, here are some resources as we come close to election day that I am just offering you. Maybe you don't know about them. Could we use them in our parish? And then Terry, it would go back to prolifevote.com,
good,
where I mentioned that we have the prayer campaign. Why not have the prayer campaign for the elections? The voter guide, the party comparison piece, it's perfectly legal for churches to use. Even starting just with those two resources, go to your priest. First of all, get familiar with the website, my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Go to prolifevote.com, read through it, and then pick out what you think your priest might be most responsive to, bring it to him with our blessing and encouragement, and say, hey, listen, we have a whole team of people ready to help him and his parish.
Well said, Father. That's great, Father. And now, Dr. Ed, from a historical perspective, and I'm just going to ask you this question. We've seen cultures collapse when it comes to the Roman Empire, and it seems like we've got a similar situation going on right now in our culture. What can we do in changing the idea of sacredness of life? What can we do to as lay people right now, from your perspective?
Every Catholic has to understand that he or she is a son or daughter of Jesus Christ, the King. And that should be very empowering. And as I said before, Vatican II said it was leaving intact the Church's traditional teaching on the relationship between Church and State.
Right.
And that means that no act, no law on the part of the government can limit the Church when it comes to issues of morality and salvation. There's no Johnson Amendment. There's not even a First Amendment, nothing that would curtail. You know, all this stuff that's been going on, I don't want to get off on a sidetrack, but all this stuff that's been going on about you can't have more than 10 people in a church,
yeah,
or you can't open your churches. According to the traditional teaching of the Church, the state may not tell the Church what to do when it comes to divine worship.
Amen.
He was established by Jesus Christ. She is the one that has the power when it comes. It's called the indirect power over temporal authority. Now, we have to love and pray for our public officials, especially for our Catholic officials. And we have to love and pray for our bishops. They have to do their job. And we have to love and pray for our priests. And the laity are empowered and the priests are empowered to stand up for the truth. We're going to answer to God one day if we didn't stand up for the truth.
Dr. Ed, I love the comment that says, is there enough information if you are in court to convict you for being an on-fire Christian for defending life? That's a question I ask myself every day. Is there enough information that says you've been defending life? Now, that's what I call an examination of conscience when I think about it at night. What did I do today to protect the unborn? Now, I would say that is the issue of the day, because if you don't have life, no other event, no other issue is going to actually take place. So this is why I had Randall Terry on yesterday, okay, talking about pro-life. Some people say, Terry, why are you continually hitting on this? Because it is the issue of our time. If we can't protect our future citizens in our country, then we're not doing anything right. And so that's why, Father Frank, you're here for us, because we need strong leadership. There's a book I quote, another book. It's still available from Ignatius Press. It's called The Battle for the American Church. Monsignor George Kelly, friend of ours. I think you know him, too, from New York. He passed away years ago, but he said, where's the church going? Where its leaders take them. Now, that means the bishops, we have to encourage them to lead us, okay? This is something that, for me, after 40 years, I'm just so blessed to meet good bishops that I've seen lead. Like, for example, Bishop O'Connell taking Jesus out onto a mountain and blessing, 16 million people with the Blessed Sacrament and saying we have to bring Jesus to the streets. That's the kind of leadership we need. Now, I'm just going to leave it on this note, then I'll let you guys have the final word, because I'm fired up about this, because we are in a battle. I actually will say this. We're at war. What do we mean by that? We're at war because our little ones are being murdered every day. And I'll just give you, thousands of babies every single day are dying, and we're going to sit and say nothing? Okay, that's not cool. That's not going to work for us when we meet Jesus. And nobody gets out alive last time I looked. Father Frank, I want to hear your last thoughts, and then Dr. Ed, and then please, Father, a blessing at the end of the show. Your thoughts on action items more.
One more action item, prolifevolunteer.com. We need people who are willing and ready to take some extra time in these next 4 months, because that's all we've got, to elect the right people. You know, there are over 100,000 different races taking place in elections 2020. Please go to prolifevolunteer.com and sign up. Someone from our team will get in touch with you. Excellent. We want to encourage you, be in touch with you, and do everything we can together in these next few months for this election.
Well said. Dr. Ed, your final thoughts before Father's blessing.
You know, there's only one candidate on the ballot for president on November 3rd who is going to save babies and save freedom of religion. And so we have to get all our friends and relatives and just get out there and vote on November 3rd for that candidate. And, you know, the times we're living in with the violence and the virus and all this upheaval, it reminds me of the Lord of the Rings, when the Dark Lord Sauron had his spell over the earth and evil was multiplying. And little Frodo Baggins had to destroy the Ring of Power, which was the source of this evil. And he was like carrying his cross. And he said to Gandalf, the wizard, he said, "I wish that this hadn't happened to me. I wish it had never come to me, this ring." And Gandalf told him, "No, so do all who live to see such times, but that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us." And that's what we have to do right now. This is our moment.
Well said, Dr. Ed. And Father Frank, I want to ask also, for those who have had abortions, you also have a ministry for that. Could you share just a minute with that?
Rachel's Vineyard is the largest healing ministry in the world for those suffering from abortion, not just the moms, but the dads and other family members too. So to find Rachel's Vineyard and other healing ministries, go to abortionforgiveness.com, put in your zip code, you'll find the help that's available closest to you. Abortionforgiveness.com.
Well said. And Father, could we have a blessing for all of us to really fulfill our duties and our state in life? We had the Gospel of Matthew at the beginning of the show and doing the Father's will. So could you please pray for us?
And bless us. Lord, send your Holy Spirit upon your holy people, upon your church, upon this nation. Send your Spirit of encouragement, enlightenment, and strength. Protect us from all evil, forgive our sins, and give us growth in holiness, which is union with your will. And now in the power of that Spirit, may Almighty God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much, Father Frank Pavone. Thank you so much, Dr. Ed Mazza, here on Virgin Most Powerful. Folks, I want to mention something to you that is very important. The knowledge of our faith is really important, because if we don't have a knowledge of our faith, we can't live it. And that's why Bishop Strickland is going to be coming on starting the 7th of July to teach us the faith. He's going to be going through the commandments, the sacraments. But check this out. The first segment, he's going to cover the things that are going on in our culture and how to give us strong leadership as a bishop to give us inspiration to fight the good fight. That's what he's going to be doing here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Remember we talked about bishops? They teach, they govern, and they sanctify. Well, we want to have a bishop who's going to teach us the perennial teachings of the Catholic faith. That's what we have with Bishop Strickland starting the 7th of July after the Terry and Jesse. Father Frank Pavone, you know the question I'm going to ask you. The music's on. What state should we be living in, Father?
State of grace.
Amen. And the state that we shouldn't be living in, just even for a second, is mortal sin. I want to remind everybody, we have confessions here at our chapel, 3 o'clock every Saturday before the 5 o'clock vigil mass. I want to also recommend to come, because we kneel for communion and we have communion on the tongue. And it's a very reverent mass here at the city. So 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoons and Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And we'd love to see you at church if you're in Southern California. If not, we'll be streaming it soon. May God richly bless you. And we say full sheen ahead. Why? Because Bishop Sheen is our model here at Virgin Most Powerful. He was teaching, he was governing, he was sanctifying, and now it's our turn to say thanks again for joining us at Virgin Most Powerful. With clarity and charity, that's what we try to profess to help you fall deep in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. God love you and your family.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O Divine and Great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.